Today, we're talking about spirit bombs and how little of an impact they make on the entirety of the series.
What the hot take right away?
I was just trying to get their attention.
Okay, that's fine. That's one thing to get attention. It's another thing to just lie, because this is a narrative that has been going on in the Dragon Ball community.
What?
You haven't seen this?
No.
Well, it's more of like a joke, but like an ongoing thing. Like the Spirit Bomb never really finishes anybody off. Ever. I was going to say minus Kid Buu, but technically it's more like a, I guess, facial surgery. More just gets a different look. Different look, fresh set of parents, reincarnation.
I feel like if you're using Oob reincarnation as like the Spirit Bomb didn't finish him off, that's not fair.
What do you mean? Because
he gets eviscerated.
And then becomes Oob. You know, he's like right back totally to it. He's right back being. To it. You know what? I agree, because I'm a fan of the Spirit Bomb. We discussed it in our reaction to the episode, which you can watch over on the Key Moments Patreon or
clicking join on this video right now.
That was crazy. We like that perfectly. But our podcast thing. Skills are getting really good on this.
Let's give them a taste of your reaction skills.
Oh, like am I just pretending?
No.
Oh, you're doing the edited highlight reel.
What? No.
Wait, what? No. What are we doing?
Dotto, bro, come on, man. This guy.
Are we still on the podcast?
Yes.
What's happening? Oh, we have for the first time ever, a live viewer call-in. Not really a viewer, not really a call-in, but I believe my co-host Nano's making his way in. That is a figure art?
This is a figure art.
That guy is huge. I forgot we promised a little something special for this episode, even though, damn, wait, how much is this one? Yeah, let him get on the mic.
Retail on this guy was, I think, 150 to 160 or something.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad.
He comes with, this is definitely, for those of you that are just our audio listeners, the Dada's favorite fans.
Love you guys. In
the Grade 8 Vegeta SNH Figure Arts figure, which comes with a mini Yajirobe.
It does feature Yajirobe. Oh, he was shaking in his belt right there.
And, well, because he's not like... It's not a statue. Yeah. It's a straight up figure you can adjust. This guy has insane joints. And then he comes with a mini Goku that he can have crushed in the palms of his hands. And he also even has his eye.
Oh, is he missing the eye? Is it burned out? Here, turn it towards me a little bit. Oh, I guess I could also look on the great camera setup we have. That is sick. It's from spoilers. Goku does fire a beam into the Great Ape's eye.
Yeah. I mean, this is the most perfect figure for this episode, minus this part.
And we are going to be doing a thing where we switch out the figures. No, probably not. But this one looks really good. And this gives us a good chance. I mean, we could just go into... I want to talk about figure arts now. I had this whole story planned, but now I want to ask your opinion, because you recently had a SH figure art video do really well.
Yep.
On the More Nano channel.
I did.
I was in a Discord call with Rhyme, by the way. I'm going to dox him a little bit here. But he was like, is this Nano's channel? He thought somebody like clipped you from somewhere and like uploaded it.
Yeah, he told me that he clicked on it and he's like, wait, this is definitely not clips. This is like
content.
Yeah.
Now, I also was a big believer. I said, Nano, the streets need a Nanogenics figure channel.
It's pretty much happening.
Honestly, the streets just need more figure channels. Now, I don't really have a ton of SH figure arts though, but you know what I was thinking with this one is that you do have a few of these, but more so than anything else, this one would look really sick in a diorama, like with like the Gazar Desert.
Yeah, I might have to get one of those done. I haven't really talked about it too much. I've been a figure arts collector since like 2013. Figure Arts started releasing in 2011, and they made a San Diego Comic-Con Goku at the time, which looked far better than like. I mean, show this to a figure arts collector in like 2013, 2014, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, the only complaints the general community has about this is to make, so there's a Purunga they've made that's okay. Like way bigger than this. Like, he's huge. But
I've seen him on the cover of the magazine, like the collectors.
Yes, yes.
Because he stands out.
Because he's massive. So this guy is big for a figure arts, but compared to, say, like a Goku figure arts, the Goku for scale would not look right. So some people's complaints about this guy are how small Yajirobe is and how small Goku is, because this in a like in a diorama like you're mentioning with, you know, like you could probably do something where you put this in the back and then maybe you have like a sequence of Yamcha on the ground with like a Cyberman and like Nappa over here and maybe a sequence of like Krillin fighting, I don't know, and then Goku and Vegeta. But then all that is to normal scale. Like all those figuarts are made to normal scale. Mm. And then you'd have this guy in the back and you're seeing this tiny ass Goku in his hands. That is, it's to scale for this, but just in this own bubble, right? Cause this Vegeta, this Gradiant Vegeta is not that big compared to like a Nappa figure. Like the Nappa figure stands like this tall on this Gradiant Vegeta, you know?
Yeah. I see what they mean by that.
That's people's only complaints, but like, how else do you balance that? Because they're very aware that people use like the very common shelving system people use are IKEA Detolf shelves, which they actually discontinued. Fun fact, IKEA discontinued those last year.
Which one? The glass ones?
The glass ones. They've replaced them with another kind. But my thing is like, it looks a little different. So now I've got three that look the exact same. So am I going to get a fourth that looks a little different? Like,
is this the SH figure? I bet people that have SH figures are telling you.
No, there's...
Bro, please, bro, yeah, why? There's
like all kinds of like threats.
Secondhand market going crazy.
Yeah. So, anyways, you said I have a few. I have essentially all of them up until about 2020, and I started missing out on a few.
I meant the dioramas.
Oh, you're talking about the dioramas. Oh.
Because like, I'm saying just this and like that... I thought
you were talking about my figures. No.
Okay. He was like, few, hold on, buddy. I own all of them. But I do think figure arts are cool. I think I own a Boruto one. I definitely, the only one I ever bought, like frame one.
I've not gotten into other franchises yet.
I would imagine, yeah, because
it's too much.
Yeah, I would mostly stick to Dragon Ball, I think. But I bought a Boruto one just because I was like, Boruto's sick. And then right away, I had to get the Dragon Ball Battle Hour one, the evil Goku from the game.
That's such a good looking one. Goku is the box is good. And the figure is really good.
Not to be too biased or anything, but I was like an actual, like that was a, like, it, yes,
and
it is just
fighters on the box. Doesn't it?
It is just evil Goku, but like the color rechange and it's specifically, it's from fighters. Granted, how often do you reference the fighter story mode? It's not like even I've never played it, to be honest.
I'm about to say, I don't even know. I played like 3-4 hours of it and I got bored.
I think
like,
the way the fighter story mode works, I could be wrong on this. I think there's three different stories. And each of them are different. And in one of the stories, there's like evil clones.
Oh, I thought it was just three different endings.
No, I think it's three different like total stories.
Oh, okay.
I think. But there is definitely three different endings. But I bought that right away because I was like, damn, that is sick.
So do you have 21?
No.
The Battle Hour 21?
I think I missed that one.
You don't have 21? Wow.
The thing with Battle Hour is I should have bought more merch than I did.
We don't have enough time, but a fun bonus video, or maybe even just a YouTube video, probably bonus, would just be getting your reaction to some of my like figures and stuff.
Yeah, I think that would be a good bonus video. The thing with Battle Hour is just that it sucks, man. Like I really thought I would have more time for the merch. I'm not sure why I didn't buy more. Looking back, I probably should have just bought one of whatever they were selling. But I thought Battle Hour was here to stay in its old form.
Battle Hour this year was just awful.
Yeah, no, they, and if you don't know, Battle Hour was like, it was a yearly event.
Started in 2019?
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. It was a yearly event where they would do like,
I think,
cool game events, reveals for, it was like a Dragon Ball Gamescom for just Dragon Ball games. You get some reveals, you get some DLC updates.
Watch the producers play old games, which sometimes was actually it was just, really fun.
Sometimes it was just game developers playing old games. It was really sick. Sadly, this year's Battle Hour was pretty whack. I don't even remember everything that happened. I think there was not a lot of streams. Well,
so what happened is I don't understand it, but they filmed everything because everything was still on camera, but they didn't stream it. They only streamed like two panels. And they brought Daima, but they didn't show anything off. They didn't give us a date. Did they bring Sparking Zero? Maybe. I don't remember a trailer coming out of that for Sparking Zero.
Maybe? Like, maybe we got
They showed off the Kakarot DLC. They showed off an LF. They showed an LF Super 17 for Legends. But here's the crazy thing with that is I reacted to the Super 17 reveal through someone's
phone
vertical
screen. Yes.
Live stream. They did not tweet or show off 17 officially for like 5 hours later.
That's what it was. It was
everything was delayed. They posted the VODs 2 days after the event was done. Well, no one cares anymore.
No, we all figured it out. It's not like we still watched it. It's just that we were watching it through a guy that was filming and going like, oh, that's pretty
good.
Yeah,
dude. I guess I would say like, do you think it's coming back next year? And I think if I think that my gut would say no, except for the fact that we're getting an actual Dragon Ball game next year. So surely it's happening next year.
It felt like a death. It felt like a
or presumably
death, it felt like a death rattle. Basically,
what are you doing if somehow I know this is not possible, but what would you do if Sparking Zero wasn't here until 2026?
Stall for years, bro. That's I mean, no.
There's some people that think it's happening this year. I still do not think it's happening this year.
This year would be a bit. I mean, if that happens this year, I'm dancing from the rooftops. Dude.
That's the thing. I think people misunderstand when I say that. They think like I don't want it to come. Like, bro, I've got a Dragon Ball YouTube channel. I want Sparking Zero like yesterday, bro.
yeah.
Like,
people are always like, why don't you want it to? And don't get me wrong.
For some, realistic, man.
For some topics, I get that. Like when people are like, why do you guys talk about game leaks or like get hype over? Because sometimes I get just having a negative attitude. Like when people are just talking about like, oh, you know, I heard this rumor and it might not be true. And people are like, oh, if that's true, it's exciting. It's like, it's a rumor. Why are you getting excited? It's like, it's just exciting. It's just cool. But when you're like, I don't know if it'll be out this year. That would be crazy. It's like, why are you bringing the fun down? It's like, no, I'm just trying to be like, realistic. Yeah. There's a different way of going about it, I think.
Yeah, I think the thing is too, and this is with every fandom, but I see it a lot happen in Dragon Ball, is we get our hopes up. Like, Super's coming back. I've heard it from three sources. Super's coming back. And then guess what? It still hasn't come back. And then we're disappointed over what was basically nothing. There was nothing there, really.
There was nothing. You know? Yeah, but I mean, we just have nothing. Sometimes we literally just have nothing. Like, that's all we can go off of.
I mean, we basically have had nothing for...
You know what I randomly think of? Like every morning, and it gives me pain. It happened this morning. I literally wake up and I'm like, oh, I can't wait for the next Super chapter to come out because we had waited that 1 month. And then I remember that apparently got confirmed to be not true and it is an indefinite hiatus. That was another moment where I swear I did not make this up. Somebody that I trust, I don't know who it is. I'm not like trying to.
Yeah, you're not trying to put them on blast.
I'm not trying to put. No, if I knew them, I would say who it was because I don't blame them. They probably just heard it and said it. Or read it and said,
whoever told you that's listening to this and is like, fuck, that was me.
I mean it as the fact that I literally forget who it was, but it was like an account that maybe it was like a devious hype kind of thing where most of the times what they tweet is just accurate. So I was like, nice, 1 month break. And that was
wait, a fact. So have you looked into it? Is it confirmed as just
it's an indefinite? I think so, yeah.
I haven't looked into it.
Well, now what if I'm wrong and it's not indefinite and then I get hype again? Because then I don't feel bad because then I'm just excited. So that doesn't even suck for me. But basically, it's I think the Dragon Ball fandom, it happens a lot where we just get hype. It's not true. And then we just move on. And that sucks. I mean, you know, we've had our fair share of Tuper incidents. And Super has yet to come back.
I can't find anything about it.
That was another thing, though, is just the battle hour. You know what my hot take is? I'll just say this while you're looking that up. The battle hour, you know what it really needed? It needed Bandai to put some more money into Dragon Ball Fighters, bro. What they didn't realize is having Dragon Ball Fighters, you can run a whole tournament that can be a whole leg of the battle hour stream. But if you take away the reveal, the possibility of a reveal, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
So who cares about the tournament? And that's not, I'm not trying to shit on competitive fighters. I love it. But the hard truth is that you're a casual fan.
Could
really get into a tournament. They could watch the whole thing, but they're like,
but they're, you know, there. I'm watching this
because at the, like, that finals was hype. I might buy the game. I might tell a friend, but I'm here for the real. Give me the reveal. I'm ready. And then they just go, thanks for watching. Who cares, bro? Put some money into it. You don't even need. The thing is, you don't need to commit to a season. But they should at least be pumping out a character every 6 months. One character every 6 months, that would have been a great strategy.
No, I agree.
Like a Xenoverse thing. Like Xenoverse gets some drip feed, but you just need one. And honestly, you really just need it for the battle hour. Like every battle hour, we get an event, come watch the battle hour.
I mean, even with Xenoverse where they, you know, like right now we've got like the future arc or whatever they're calling it. And like, you know, they do the thing and they show you like one panel and then ? Like fighters could even do that. But like the question marks don't have to be how they did it before where it was every 3 months.
Yeah, like, you can just,
it could just be a question mark. Like it's coming at some point.
We're doing something.
It'll come when it comes, you know?
Yeah. So don't think about it, bro. It's just, man, the Xenoverse comparison is crazy because they're doing the most for that game, bro. Vegeta got a new form. Goku Black got a new form.
Do you think
Dragon Ball FighterZ has 21.
Okay, this is probably a topic for another day, but it probably is also the fact that, like, I don't want to say that. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
All right. Well, you kind of brought us to that edge.
I know. But
you brought us through that edge. So now we just get into the episode?
I think it's time we just talk about the episode.
Just back it away, bro.
Well, okay.
Crack this can, look lovingly into it. And then...
I mean this with like the least amount of disrespect to Dimps.
Okay.
But like, if they're not working on a Dragon Ball IP, what are they doing?
Wow. So you're just flaming them.
But like what, like that's a very genuine question. I mean that with like, but when you look at Arc System Works, what are they doing? Well, they're probably working on one of their like original IP fighting games.
Yeah. And I like Guilty Gear, so it pains me to say it, but get back in the studio for Fighters, bro. Like you can divvy up.
And that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't even know like what has Dimps made that's not Dragon Ball. Do you know?
They used to make a lot of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I think they used to have their, you know, their what is the saying? Like your finger in a lot of honey pots or something like that. Isn't that a song like that?
maybe. Let's say they had their eggs in a lot of baskets.
Sure.
Yeah, let's mix it. Let's go a little Easter theme.
Dimps Video Game Company. Here we go. I'm gonna go to their Wikipedia page.
Okay. And I'll say based or cringe, bro. I'll let you know if it was worth a project or not.
Whoa, Dotto.
What's up?
First off, they were founded in 2000, founded March 6th of 2000.
It's pretty old, but also, you know, pretty modern.
The people that own it are its current president, which is, his name is Takashi. Then there's Bandai Namco. There's Sony Interactive.
That own it?
Yeah.
I mean, Dimps is pretty big time, bro.
What is that about? And again, I meant this as no, like, I hope when I click this game's developed, I'm going to be like, holy shit.
They were in a lot.
There you go. I'm about to say, holy shit. It's one of their games is right there, dude.
Dishonored?
No.
Oh.
It's on the top of that.
Oh, Bioshock?
It's on the top of that pocket. They made Sonic Advanced.
Oh. That's a while ago, though. That's a Game Boy game.
Well, because, you know, it starts in... anyways, they made Digimon Battle Spirit, Sonic Advanced. They made Inuyasha Feudal Fairy Tale.
Is that good? I've never heard of that.
Dude, it was a PlayStation 1 game that came out in 2002. I really, really liked that game. So they're Budokai.
Yeah, I remember that.
But that's, I mean, like, what are they not? Like, I'm looking for something, though, that we could be like, oh, what? They made Kirby and the Amazing Mirror on Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy game. I thought you were about to say Kirby Air Ride, and I was going to have to say based because that's one of the greatest Kirby games of all time. They might have also made that.
They made a Saint Seiya game. They made some One Piece games. They made Sonic Rush on the Nintendo DS.
Big into Sonic. They got some good IPs.
What is Crash Boom Bang?
It's a
DS Crash game.
Is it?
It's got to be.
Like Crash Bandicoot, or is it just
Crash? Wait, there's a soccer ball there.
I have no idea what that is. They got Crunch on the cover, though. It's probably like a party game. Maybe they got a DS party game. Crash Bandicoot.
Tales of the Tempest.
What is that?
I'm
realizing I don't know a lot of these games.
That's
so this is why I didn't know about Dimps. I really wasn't familiar
Dimps
with their game.
Wait, Dimps made Burst Limit?
That's a good game right there.
Dimps.
How about you put some goddamn respect on Dimps?
Dimps. Let it go. Let Xenoverse go. Let's go back and let's make Burst Limit.
Let's go back to Burst Limit.
Call it Sparking Limit.
Let's up the amount of cutscenes during fights. I say we up it to the max.
Dude, they were Burst Limit. No wonder that game fucks. I love Burst Limit. That game fucks. Okay.
Burst Limit was really good. I was a fan of Burst Limit. And any game where Ginyu can body swap and actually keep the body is a good Dragon Ball game. That is always a good test.
You said you like Street Fighter 4, right?
Yeah.
They made Street Fighter 4?
I think they did some stuff on it, didn't they?
They were a part of Street Fighter 4.
That's just Dimps. I was hoping, cut to the chase, Nano. What modern. Give me the new age stuff. Post 2016 or 15.
Okay.
I guess 2016.
Well, this is Dragon Ball, but Dragon Ball the Breakers.
I mean, look, I enjoy it for what it is, but it would be remiss of me not to say that it just wasn't worth it. Depending on how long it took, I guess.
Mobile Suit Gundam Arsenal Base, which is an arcade game.
That's pretty big.
Saint Seiya Shining Soldiers, which is
that's just not for us.
Wait, They worked on Soul Calibur 6.
Okay.
Soul Calibur 6 is pretty big. That was 2018.
I mean, it's Soul Calibur. I feel like it comes back every now and then, and people obviously like Soul Calibur, but it's a fighting game, and it's Soul Calibur.
Yeah, that's fair. They worked on Street Fighter V.
That's a miss.
They worked on My Hero Academia Battle for All, which was a Nintendo 3DS game. Yeah, they don't really, I mean, oh, they worked on Freedom Wars. Did you play that? That was a Vita game.
No. Oh, I've heard of that, though.
That was one of the best Vita games ever.
When you said that, I thought of Happy Wars. Have you played Happy Wars?
The concept of that, and then we can actually talk about the episode, but the concept of Freedom Wars is that you were sentenced to just like an insane life sentence to not really prison, but kind of prison, and you have to work your life sentence off. I mean, but it's like beyond that. It's like imagine you get like put in jail for 5,000 years, and you have to work off 5,000 years of a prison sentence.
Okay.
And to do that, you go fight.
Oh, okay. So that's just
and so each mission knocks off time from your sentence.
Oh.
And then like if you when you're in your like little cubby jail cell, whatever you want to call it,
cubby jail cell.
There's a
jail
cell. There's a you're assigned, I guess, like a patrol officer or whatever.
I like the idea of a prisoner going into a jail cell. It's like nice. It's my own little cubby.
It's like super futuristic. So you're just kind of like it's like. Got a screen so you can like
damn
you know
flat screen
but if you go over and you like talk to the patrol officer I think you can maybe like tap him or hit him or something it adds time to your sentence and shit. That game was really cool.
That's toxic cool.
But and I guess to answer it they really like if we go look up Arc Sys we're gonna see a lot of other games that well, we would
their,
know
yeah their games. Games
but like with Dimps I mean maybe they're maybe because I know there's and I don't hang on. I don't want to discredit them, but when it says like Street Fighter 4 and 5, like they're not the sole dev on that, right? They're probably like some sort of like
I'm gonna be honest, I got no idea, but if when they touch stuff, you know, normally the time it comes out pretty good.
Yeah, like, again, I think Xenoverse 2 is
great.
When people don't like Xenoverse 2, I'm like
it's every time I hear that, you know what I hear? I just hear I love Xenoverse 2 a lot. Basically, because the only people that could possibly hate it are people that loved it enough to play it to the point where they got frustrated
mm-hmm.
and then they started hating it. Because mm-hmm. nobody I know that, like,
yeah,
like when we
I
all
hate the visuals, though. I will say that I don't like the way Xenoverse 2 looks.
They look a little greasy.
I don't like that, yeah.
But basically, in high school, Xenoverse was it's basically the greatest Dragon Ball game ever made. I think it's Fighters, but to the majority of people nowadays, yeah, if you said
Xenoverse
the best
scratches that
modern Dragon Ball game, most people that I knew back in the days, just like normal people, would say like Xenoverse is the greatest game ever. I get to create my own character.
I've never been a big CAC guy.
I don't know. What I'm not a big guy of, because I get not being a CAC guy, because normally I'm not. I'm not a big guy. If the game has CACs, DLC almost does nothing for me. I think I've talked about this before, but why would I play as Goku when I could play as me who learned from Goku?
Macchiato.
Yeah, exactly. Macchiato. Why play as anybody else when I could play as Macchiato?
Yeah, I just like playing as the actual Dragon Ball characters. I'm not a big CAC guy. I don't know. Like, and that's like a Dragon Ball thing for me. You know what? Kind of like...
It's what I said about magic, isn't it?
Yes.
It breaks your immersion.
Yes.
I think that works too, because in fighting games, like people get on me about this now, so I'm telling you this in confidence. But Tekken 8 has like the custom, any game that has like create your own like costumes for the characters, I hate that shit. It just, because people put on all these wacky outfits and the silhouettes change.
But when they go hard, they go everywhere. Hard,
they can be cool. Like I can admit like, that's cool.
What was the one where I saw where someone like maxed out everything and like it was just this big block on the screen?
That was somebody just cheating. They just modded it to look like a giant square. But
oh,
that
they were cheating.
How that video looks is how I see any costume. Anytime a character looks slightly different, I'm just like, that's what I see. I'm just like, oh, what the fuck is this? It just affects my brain. I'm just like, ah. But then when I say that, people are like, you don't think it's a good feature? Casuals love it. I think it should be. If you can make it, you should put it in the game. People do love making their own costumes and cosplaying.
You know what's in the game?
Hmm.
Especially in pretty much every Dragon Ball game.
What's that?
Spirit Bomb.
Whoa! That brings us back to this episode, Spirit Bomb Away. This one, last episode, it was mostly just Goku and Vegeta fighting. We didn't really have much to say on that. It's just they're fighting and it looked good.
There was so much going on in this episode.
This episode had one, lore, Two, character development. In Dragon Ball, how often do we get character development? For multiple characters?
Dude, and three. Can I go
for three? Yeah, go for three. You take three.
Not only do we get to see Yajirobe.
This is literally what I was going to say for three, but go ahead.
No way.
Yeah, go ahead.
We get to see Yajirobe through another filler cutscene.
That's true.
On Baba's little ball.
That's true. It's filler on top of filler.
It's crazy as shit, man. But, Inception, you could say.
And I wanted to add one more thing to that. That is what I was going to bring up for three. But Yajirobe fans, this was his best episode yet.
Easily.
Because he feels like...
Next episode.
He feels needed in this role. Oh, I see. We were looking at the old SH figure art here.
I'm trying to see if any of the camera angles can see that.
Well, I mean, if you just like twisted it a little bit this way, you could probably see it on my end, but... that's Yajirobe back there. You can't really see him, but Vegeta can't really see him either. Let's start from the beginning though, because the episode begins with the chase scene.
Yeah, dude, the chase scene was awesome.
This is what I remember from Great Apes.
We get the transformation again.
Oh yeah, but it's like we kind of.
It's not like
it.
As crazy.
Well,
as
I don't think there was any new shots. Like
there, I feel like there was maybe a couple new shots. Am I crazy for thinking that?
I don't think. I mean, to be honest, maybe I wasn't paying super close attention.
I was. It was Vegeta.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. And we talked about it, but Goku really doesn't, and I guess for good reason. He's kind of busy thinking about other things. But nobody really reacts or calls attention to the fact that Vegeta can speak like a grown man as an ape.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't watched the previous episodes of the pod, we really thought that was going to be something that they were going to acknowledge, call out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And no one said shit about that.
It wasn't even, not even like the writing didn't even play it up. Like
nothing.
He didn't pretend that like, or not pretend, but he didn't like smash something and then go, I'm just kidding. Or like, not kidding, but like now.
The episode just starts and Vegeta's just yapping.
He just goes, now I'm going to crush you.
You dog, Kakarot.
You dog. And me monkey. Yeah, he says that. That was, but.
What you don't understand if you didn't hear me before. Your father was an average fighter.
He was a brilliant scientist. I want to reiterate that he did this to me. Thank you.
It's the Blutz Waves.
The Blutz Waves did this to me. But it starts with a sick chase scene. Very Breakers-esque, honestly. Shout out to Dibs.
Yeah, so yeah, he does a call out in the reactions. Again, shout out to our key members who are able to watch our reactions to all of our Dragon Ball Z episodes, among many other pieces of bonus content, and made this episode you're watching possible. But... you called out like you wish there was a game that really captured running from a great ape. And I thought you were setting up a joke for Breakers. You were referencing, though, is like, I think that could be an interesting concept. And I don't know if they could do it. But it'd be really cool if they did like a limited time mode in Breakers, where instead of being like these humans that can sometimes embody Goku, Gogeta, all that shit, let me just run like. Give the Raider like a bit of a buff and let me run around as actual Goku and let me do some of that shit.
Yeah, that's when
he's like hopping like, rock to rock like really fast.
Yeah.
So I thought he was making a pun.
No, I don't know what it says about
setting up a joke for Breakers.
I don't know what it says about Breakers. I didn't even think of Breakers in that moment. What I pictured was, and I went on to clarify, like shout an infinite King. World. Shout out Iron King, an infinite world style mini game because you know they'll do like a Snake Way where you can run Snake Way and you have to beat
We've
the
had
timer.
This conversation.
I know. Wait, what?
You tried telling me about some Gregory minigame, and I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Well, I've never played Infinite World like that.
Which is crazy, because it has really good levels. There's a Krillin landing Destructo Disc on Frieza minigame. There's the...
Why did they put this much effort into
bubbles,
a game
you have to catch bubbles.
That came out 3 years after 360 and 2 years after
for
PS3?
For people like me that only had a PS2, and to me, that was just the new game on the block.
That is fair, dude. PS3 is so expensive.
PS2
I'm
was...
I'm so many yards
crazy.
PS3.
Damn. I was not mowing yards. You know, one time, this is the only time on the podcast that it's ever going to come up, so we have to go on a diatribe. You know, one time I was, as a kid, you know, when you find out what money is and you find out that you have to do jobs to get it? Uh-huh. this is the Floridian-ass story. I drew up custom flyers because I wanted to buy something of, like, me mowing, pushing a lawnmower, and I went out and I made, like, 10. I just handed them to my neighbors in case they needed their lawn mowed. And one guy knocked at his door, and he went, huh. And he ripped it in front of me, and I went, I don't think I'll be mowing that guy's lawn. It was crazy. I was like, oh, damn.
I was fortunate enough to have, like, an aunt down the road, a mowed her yard.
That's pretty
buff. And then we had some like couple friends. And then my grandpa was in big with this, not in big, that sounds
in,
crazy.
In big is crazy. This is a mafia story?
Yeah.
He did a couple favors for the boss. So.
Freddie fucking West.
He did a couple favors for Freddie fucking West.
Anyway, no, he, I got to go mow for a, like a company.
Damn.
Like a, like not for a company. Like I wasn't like an employee. Like I mowed the company's lot.
Oh, that's a yeah. little, I mean, that's still pretty impressive though.
Yeah. So I did that to buy my PS, my $600 PS3. I found a Best Buy ad that I didn't realize I still had from when the PS3 launched. I should show you. That's cool.
Oh yeah. I love looking at, my favorite part when I buy like a PS1 game is just opening it up. And I love seeing advertisements for shit that's so old, dude. It's like,
yes,
it's like trying to sell me on something that just kind of sucks now. It's just like hilarious. Like all new action. And then it's just a cover of the game where it's like a two sprites talking. I'm like, oh, wow. Exciting. Anyway, Infinite World.
You made me think of something, but it's in that closet that I can't get into right now. But I want to show you
something. Our whole set's in front of it. Infinite World has a lot of mini games. Running from a Great Ape is one that I've never seen any game do.
I gotta play this game.
You should. You should do a Let's Play series on it. I did. It on hard with no items and no additional abilities. It's not really a good time, is it? That's what I did.
Oh, I did. I thought you didn't play on hard. I thought that was the bit. Or was that Budokai 3?
That was Budokai 1.
Okay.
Because I was just playing through for the cutscenes. So, see, a lot of people forget that I was playing through. But anyway, Goku runs away from Great Ape. And I'm not running away from hard mode Budokai. It's not something that's happening.
Dude, so that part was really, really sick. And I just like, I guess also... We've always called this out. We've got to make sure we call this out too. Beautiful ass scenery shots in this episode.
They the artists, especially
this wasn't even an episode they needed to even do that for. The scenery didn't need to carry this. This was just a good episode.
It was good, especially the Gazar Desert. Always a good time in the Gazar Desert, looking great. But specifically,
can you tell we wikied that recently?
I'm burning it into our memories. Yeah, so we'll always remember the Gazar Desert.
The wastelands. You mean
the Gazar Desert? You're referring to the Gazar Desert.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. You know, there's also...
I can tell you don't really watch Dragon Ball.
That's interesting. You must be a Kai enjoyer. That's interesting. So I was going to say, specifically the Gohan and Krillin shots, which were not really used as filler per se, but they ate up some time of the episode. We also got some character development.
I don't know why I thought that was so funny.
Bro's a huge fan of Kai because he doesn't know the Gazar Deserts. But Gohan and Krillin realize they see the moon. They realize something's up.
Yes.
They feel somebody's power fading.
Yeah, I was going to say, they say something like, it's a, like someone's power is like fading away. Oh, you jumped a little bit though.
I'm jumping because why not cover all of the Gohan Krillin stuff? We cut back and forth between Gohan and Krillin the whole time.
He jumps because he jumps to the point to where Vegeta breaks...
Well, we're jumping all the way there.
Goku's ankles.
We're jumping all the way there. We're shattering his ankles. I guess we check the time here. Yeah, we can jump there. I mean, check out the podcast time, making sure we're not 20 minutes in. But yes, we got a podcast call in. Sorry. But
Fletcher was calling in.
Yep. Big call in. Big time.
You guys are like, who's Fletcher? That's my youngest son.
But Gohan and Krillin are discussing this whole time. They feel something's not wrong. They stop. We'll cut back to them. Then they feel a power fading. That's because while Goku's been running away, we missed one big thing,
Dotto. Well, the biggest thing.
I'm not the one that said he got his legs broken, so let's cut back.
Well, it's because you mentioned the power fading away.
We got it because we're breaking it down.
I got to give context as to why his power would be fading away.
Well, that's for a few reasons.
It's because he's dying, Dotto.
He used a lot of Kaiokens, okay?
To get up and dance.
Specifically because his body is failing already, so he's using Kaioken
don't
just to dodge.
Don't fail me now, buddy.
He's dodging with full Kaioken. He's jumping up, eviscerating his body, but Vegeta eventually does catch him all the time until Goku lands a solid solar flare.
Man, dude, that
got,
was...
Got to be
was
one of the so best sick. Solar flares of all time.
Dot, I don't want to derail too much.
Go ahead.
But...
I just imagined you updating me on like the most derailed thing. Like stock prices are really up right now. Go ahead.
So I'm taking a look here at the Hearthstone wiki right now just to see what the top decks are.
Okay.
And I cannot believe this, but Secret Pally is back in rotation.
We're really throwing this back to the original Nanogenics. What's Secret Pally? Oh, the secrets. I hated the way secrets worked. I guess they're the same as trap cards, but they fucking
trap cards.
They annoyed the hell out of me.
Secret Paladin was so toxic because there was a card that would play all your secrets for you.
Great.
Yeah, it was a really annoying meta. Anyways, the Japanese name for this, because I wanted to see what they called it. So Spirit Bomb Away. I just want to take a step, just a step back so we could do like the, you know. But Spirit Bomb Away, of course, is what the English version of this was called. Then Japanese called it Battle Power times 10, which is funny that we made a joke about being times 10. No, that, he says that.
Even if I had Kaioken,
that was a low-key reference to the normal.
Oh.
Vegeta's Great Ape. Sorry, doesn't say Great Ape. Vegeta's Great Transformation. This is the 32nd episode of the Uncut Dragon Ball Z series, and the 32nd. The wiki got something wrong.
Oh,
they said 32nd twice.
Wow. You know, we gotta become contributors.
I believe it would be the 27th or 26th episode of the Vegeta Saga. Anyways, this aired originally on January 17th of 1990 in Japan, and then the version we just watched, the Funimation version of this in the U.S., aired on August 8th of 2005. Dotto.
2005, great year.
Dude, something else you pointed out before we talk about the Spirit Bomb that I thought was that I'm glad you said something because the whole time I was watching, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to break the immersion for anyone reacting with us by becoming a key member over at Patreon or clicking the join button here on this is his chubby cheeks.
Oh, the Great Ape.
But like this is a really good shot of Great Ape.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's like a sick ass shot.
It's just because he wears the Saiyan armor, which it must be some kind of joke from Frieza. Because it pushes up like their neck fat to like just look like chipmunks, bro. Like it's just, yeah. Like Vegeta looking down. He just looks so gosh dang adorable, you know. And I don't think that's what the Saiyan Prince is going for.
Anyways, you want to take it away to the.
I was gonna skip to the solar flare. Yeah, Goku wants to land a Spirit Bomb. And that's not happening with Great Ape Vegeta chasing him down. But solar flare technique gotta be. We talked about this. I said to defend this take. He said top five most useful abilities IRL. I was going to agree. I literally cut him off to agree. Then he threw in the IRL and I had to just call it a day.
Okay.
Because we have Solar Flare IRL. All
right, Dotto, on the spot right now. Give me what you think are your top five most useful Dragon Ball abilities in the real world.
Okay. Flying is my number one. Instant transmission, probably going to be my number two. Number three... Piccolo's closed beam. That's an underrated one. Four, psychokinesis. Probably above the closed beam. Thought of that one after. And five.
Say it.
Say what? It's not solar flare.
Say it.
It's not solar flare. Kaioken's too risky. Let's do. Well, after image is just running really fast. Let's say after image. Let's go for after image.
Bro is doing everything he can to not say solar flare.
We have solar flare in the real world. It's called the flashbang or a really bright flashbulb.
But like imagine it being able to do it like just on command.
What? Okay. If you give me two different scenarios in which solar flare would help you.
Literally any altercation.
What? So would any of the other ones. But like way more. Nobody's fighting you if you're flying.
Like, yes, officer, I'm going to put my...
What's different about that than reaching for his damn gun, Nano? He's gonna shoot you dead. No. Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I think it was just in my glove. You're just kill. I guess what are you gonna do? Are you gonna forget your license plate?
What about would you say like the ability to just like catch bullets with your finger, like go on and shit. Would you say that's an ability?
That's just super strength plus super speed combined.
Well, then I would want super strength, bro.
Well, yeah, it would be better than solar flare. Because all you're doing with solar flare is distract. It would be a fun party trick.
I don't know what I would put beyond one, but my number one would be just instant transmission. Like I'm telling you, dude, the idea of not having travel times anywhere.
It would be pretty
buff. Even right now, like imagine where I'm like, Dotto, like what are you trying to get? You know, we don't got a DoorDash, we don't have to Uber Eats, we don't have to do any of that, we don't have to drive there. I'd just be like, number two, okay. Got it. And then like 2 minutes later,
this also does imply that you specifically know one of the workers there's energy aura really well. So you would have to get to know like Mindy or like
okay,
Kyle.
So here's my way I would feel about it.
Okay.
Is that if we're bringing instant transmission into the real world,
uh-huh.
I have to imagine that not too many humans, if any humans, have a like chi register enough that I could lock onto that. So I'm presuming that, like, let's say I was going to go to, I don't know, the grocery store. I know where the grocery store is, so I'm presuming that I could use that ability and just take myself there. So there is a bit of a loophole there because
so we're changing the way instant transmission works.
Well, because in Dragon Ball, it makes sense because there are all these different people that have high ki levels.
But everybody has energy, though.
I guess.
Like, I think it would still like work. Like, you can feel somebody's aura energy, you know?
So you think that I've spent enough time with, say, like you or Rhyme or Diddy, that with this ability, I can lock onto your
key. It would still be super useful. I'm not taking that away. Like,
I could still lock onto your key and I could be like, boop.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Like if you were over in Japan, even though I've never been to Japan, because you're in Japan, I can be like,
yes,
sense Dado's key. Got it.
I'm saying that's more like how it would work is you'd be like, hold on, let me try to like, I got it. I can tell where he's at.
So here's what I do. My ass would go through the drive-thru once at a place I like. I'd be the guy like that's like holding everything up because I'm like having a whole ass conversation with them because I'm sitting there like trying to really register their key. Yeah. So that way
I like
and I can be like, wait.
Here, no.
But dude, what if they don't work there though? Shit, man. That's what I'm saying,
you gotta keep up, but you can just become friends with people here. Let's do it. But you realize what that would look like, right? Because you're probably inexperienced. Go ahead. You're the drive-thru artist and Toasty just cut back and forth between him like a skit. So you see exactly what it looks like. Go ahead, you're the drive-thru artist.
I'm going.
I'll just go. I'll throw it in. It's like, hey, so
like do you want? Am I at the drive thru or am I the person working?
You're working. You're in the window. You're trying to hand me my food, but I'm not taking it.
Okay.
All right. I'll start it off. This would be like, so like, what's your name? Do you have any like super hobbies you're into outside of work?
Wait. So did you want the barbecue or?
No, I was thinking barbecue. But more about you.
Hobbies. Did you get the number two and the number three?
I really don't want to talk about the food. It was the three. But your hobbies though.
And was
your
it name. A large diet Coke or yeah, Coke Zero?
Coke Zero. I like Coke Zero.
Sir.
Sir. Yeah.
Can you take your drink, please?
All right. I'm all done. Yeah, I can take that drink. And then that's the amount of awkwardness it would probably go. You're really like sensing their energy. You got to get used to it. You got to mold it. And then after that, again, you would be able to tell where they're at, though.
Okay, with instant transmission. So now that I've locked on to Tyler, right, at the drive-thru,
uh-huh.
am I gonna IT back into the kitchen if they're working in, or like behind
Goku,
the register?
Goku can kind of control it, can't he? Like once you get good enough with it, you can kind of choose. Like, it has to be within a certain range for sure.
And like,
but you could control it
at a fast food place. It'd be also kind of crazy too, because you got to think like, I don't know, if I'm going to like a Target or something, like I could just IT to the back of Target and just walk around. And so there's not like any weirdness.
Yeah.
But if I appear in the middle of the electronics section in Target, someone's gonna be like, fuck.
I mean, yeah, that's why.
So, but like with a fast food restaurant, like usually with the drive through, there's no spot around a fast food restaurant you could instant transmission that someone's not going to see.
There's surely a door that you could. Well, yes, you're probably going to get spotted, but
there's like no way.
Who cares, bro? You have instant transmission. You can just teleport out.
IT to the freezer.
Well, then you
how
better
did I get in here.
You better IT out, bro.
Bob, put me in here.
Help. But so. The benefit is you could sense their energy, and if you know where it is, you'd be able to tell if their energy is not there. So it's not like you're going to teleport to Tyler or Paul's house, because you'll know. You're like, okay, clearly they're off the clock. Maybe you could still TP in. You'll check in on your friend, but
is this the nerdiest ass conversation we've ever had on this podcast?
Yeah, but you started it, man. just as we were getting to like the finale of the episode too. But I just wanted to cover this topic once. This is why flight would clearly be the number one, because you could always just flying is just cool.
Okay, last thing. Okay. With flight, do you have some level of super strength?
No. No super speed. No.
Us right now with no like, you know, like Homelander hard style like skin going into the air and flying as fast as you could probably fly is like nutty.
Well, how fast do you think you're going? Like, I'm not even saying we're going to fly that fast.
Oh, I don't want flight if I'm not doing like 100.
You could probably do maybe 100, like maybe 60. Like 60, 75. That's fast.
Flight without being able to go, I'd say, yeah, at least 50 or 60 it seems almost pointless.
It would still be sick. I would still pay. I would give up my entire bank account to fly even at 5 miles an hour. Would you not?
Dude.
I would give up everything.
All right. This is how that would go. Like you've gotten rid of your car because you're like, who needs a car? I can fly.
I don't need a car. I can fly.
And so I'm like, bro, I'll meet you at Chili's, you know, like
I'm gonna get there in style.
No. But this isn't like a planned thing. This is just like a yo, Dotto, let's go to Chili's.
Oh, you're racing me. I see.
I've quite literally been there, ordered, eaten, left, and you're just not getting there because you went 5 miles an hour in the air.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the views.
You were able to do like a straight line, but who cares if you're doing a straight line at 5 miles an hour?
It's still sick though. I'm like, I can see down, you know, that's basically where were we in the episode? Now that you've got me cornered in this debate, because I'm not saying it would be five, but you know, if it was five, I would still take it.
We were literally discussing the solar flare so that Goku could do the spirit bomb.
He goes to charge the spirit bomb. Looks great. Who cares? It's the whole point why we're here. It looks great. The
spirit bomb looked incredible. This was actually a really cool one. The gathering. It always reminds me how much I love spirit bomb because I love the shots of the environment and everyone sort of like giving their key. Yeah. To Goku.
Well, it was mostly like inanimate objects this time.
Well, this one was inanimate, but
like living, like water.
Yeah, but it plankton. Still looks cool, like seeing the energy. And especially this one, because this is not a full-blown above his head one.
I love the hand spirit bomb.
Yeah, this is just a hand one. So like seeing it, you know, obviously gather around Goku and become an aura around Goku that he then like forms into his like fist, sick as shit.
Now, while it was sick, Vegeta fires a whole ass mouth beam at him and Goku can't even get the spirit bomb off. He just loses
Fumbles.
It looks like he loses Fumbles. It. He just falls back. He gets shot. It was the solar flare wasn't good enough. If it was a little bit better, and I'm not saying it didn't do God's work, but it wasn't enough. He falls back with the spirit bomb. And then this catches us up to Vegeta jumps up. Looks like he's about to stomp Goku, only stomps his knees down.
Yep.
Very childish. Broken legs. They look like...
He does
like
say basically like he...
Slipped. Like he was an accident.
Yeah, it was meant to be death.
Oh, no. He definitely was just bullying him.
Was he?
He definitely meant to just step on his...
Oh, okay.
I mean, you'd have to try really hard as a great ape not to just squish him. Like he intentionally missed.
And then he hits him with a blast to the eye.
Oh,
Goku
yeah.
hits Vegeta with a
Goku hits Vegeta with a blast to the eye. One final
you ruined my face, Kakarot.
Bro, because Vegeta was being childish, bro. He was gonna squish him with one finger.
Yeah. Dude, it was such a long like.
And Nano thought it was gonna be a finger beam, but Vegeta just went.
Yeah, and then Goku catches him slipping basically because he was taking too long there.
Yeah, and then he gets turned into this squeeze toy right here.
And then is he able to move one more time before he actually grabs him?
No. He gets scooped up.
Yeah, he gets. Yeah,
he because the camera shows him. He's basically dead. He's like,
he's full on dead.
And then he just gets scooped up and squeezed.
And then
he screams quite a lot for a guy that looked dead.
And that's how it ends. It ends on that shot. People love to screenshot because it's like his mouth like crazy like.
But we did also forget to mention. Go on, get some character development. He tells Krillin, "I'm going back because I'm going to save him."
Yes.
And that's where it ends. Well, not Boom. It ends on the screams, but.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's not looking good for our boy.
Let's find out what differences there were. Dotto.
Okay, go ahead. Take it away this time.
You want me?
Yeah, okay, mix it up a little bit. Yeah, why not?
The anime had a couple flashback sequences showing Grandpa Gohan warning Goku.
We forgot. Damn it. But yes, this is the first time Goku. This is our worst mistake so far. This was a huge we did it in the intro. Shoot. It was like character development. I was thinking of Gohan, and I was like, nice, we covered the character.
Yeah, but this was huge for Goku.
Goku realizes that he's the one that's been causing all this destruction in his past when it was like, I can't think of his name. Pilaf's place, his own grandfather, the World Tournament.
Yeah.
To his point,
World Tournament.
Goku's like, why didn't anybody
tell me this?
True, he's a grown-ass man. Like, I get it. Like, I get it as a kid. Yeah. As a grown ass man that also has a kid. We talked about this on the podcast when he was like, they were like, Goku, has Gohan seen any full moons? No, why?
He goes to bed at six every night.
No reason. It's like, bro, what the tell him. He has an active security risk. But he realized for the first time that he's been causing all this death and destruction. And actually talks to Grandpa Gohan.
Yes.
Pretty cool moment.
It was a really, I cannot believe.
And we missed it.
Yeah. But it did happen. So
it did happen.
All right, so the anime had a couple flashback sequences showing Grandpa Gohan warning Goku about the moon, Kami removing Goku's tail, and Goku in his grade 8 form destroying Pilaf's castle that actually were not in the manga. Bulma and the others at Kami House watching a beaten down Goku through Fortune Teller Baba's crystal ball is exclusive to the anime.
That was lame, but it's always lame.
All right, so here we go with trivia.
Trivia.
When Krillin and Gohan see Vegeta's power ball, Gohan asks if it is the moon. Krillin then replies, no, Piccolo completely destroyed the moon. This might be an inconsistency considering the fact that Krillin was not there when Piccolo blew up the moon. Piccolo might have told him during the 3-hour break during the Nappa fight, though. Goku makes the realization here that he was the one who killed his own grandfather as a grade ape many years ago. In the earlier Ocean dub, he instead makes the strange assumption that Vegeta was the monster who damaged the stadium during the 21st World Tournament, which makes absolutely no sense.
To be fair, Goku is really dumb, though. That probably is something that Goku would think. Oh, my God. This guy's been tormenting me all my life.
Yeah. In the English translation of the manga, Goku makes similar assumptions about Vegeta that he killed his grandpa Gohan, but after a little reflection, he realizes that it was him who did it. King Kai says exactly the same thing in the episode that he said in the previous episode when Goku had no choice but to use the spirit bomb. His only option will be the spirit bomb. If he can manage to pull one together and blast it at Vegeta, he might just make it out of this alive.
Mm.
Oh, although being only in a flashback, this is Emperor Pilaf's first appearance in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, well, there you go.
And that's
shout out to Pilaf.
That is all of our trivia and our differences. Massive shout out to, of course, as always, the Dragon Ball Wiki for those. Dotto, it is time to rate the episode.
Well, this is a surprising one.
You want to just do it at the same time like you did last time?
Are we going to say the same number this time?
I don't know. I feel like we're probably a little bit different on this one.
That's surprising. Okay, let's just do it anyway.
All right.
Three on go. 3, 2, 1, go. 10.
Six.
Really?
I'm messing with you.
But what is it?
Flip it upside down.
9.
Yep.
Okay. I thought this one was actually better than the Bean
Clash
episode.
Yeah, you were really into this one versus the Bean Clash. I still like the Bean Clash episode a lot. Because
this one had some Kaioken dodges. It had some high speed.
Dude,
I think
we need to rewatch. I think we need to rewatch the Bean Clash episode. I think you need to remember the
this was
the
good graph, stuff. This was unironically way better, I thought. Like, way better. Like, it made last episode look like a 9. This should have been my
first. This couldn't have been your first. You gave a 10 up when you were
come
on episode
bro.
10.
You're going to bring this up again. Key members, get this guy. But no,
someone should come tackle me.
I'm going to be honest right now. I'm going to say it. This is the best episode of Dragon Ball Z so far. By far.
Bro hates Raditz.
Damn, those were good episodes. But they didn't get a 10, did they?
They did not.
So this stands. This is the best episode of Dragon Ball Z so far. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Let us know in the comment section down below. You can also listen to us on Spotify and all podcast services. And of course, those of you that support us over on the Patreon or here on YouTube, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. Hope you guys enjoyed the bonus content. Enjoy the reactions. And if you're on YouTube, you can click on another video over there on Dotto's face. It's right on Dotto's face. Click it.
Oh, get it.
Click it.
No, you gotta get it. No, somebody get it off me. Get it off me.